Determined just as I am.
Well, good morning. I'd like for you to open your Old Testaments up to Ecclesiastes, 5th chapter. And let's begin by reading that this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, first 7 verses. Solomon said, "Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. As a dream comes when there are many cares, so the speech of a fool when there are many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin, and do not protest to the temple messenger, 'My vow was a mistake.' Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, stand in awe of God." Well, I know it's a week late, but Happy New Year. As I was laying in bed this time last week, missing all of you, and as I mentioned in my class, to the best of my knowledge, that's the first Sunday I've ever missed because of being sick, which is a great blessing from God that I've had that kind of health. I'll tell you what the great comfort was, and I mentioned this to some, and I think I put it on a Facebook post, that it's such a blessing to be a part of a spiritually mature congregation where you have servants of God who are willing to serve and will step up at a moment's notice and do what needs to be done. And so Greg and Paul and Randy last week stepping in for me was very much appreciated, and it was something I didn't have to worry about. I didn't say, what are those guys going to say? They did a great job. I listened to all the lessons, and I was very, very moved and encouraged by the messages that you heard last week, and so I want to thank them for that. And so good to see all of you. I see there was 128 of you here last week, so I'm assuming that some of you knew I was going to be here and came. Because we have a pretty good attendance. I met some of you this morning that are visiting and said, "I've been here before. I was here last week." I haven't ever said that. I wasn't here last week, so I'm glad you're all here. You know, we say Happy New Year, and I really don't know why we're so happy. On Thursday, every one of your cars depreciated 15% because it became a year older. We're all working on another year older in our lives, and that makes us a year closer to our final resting place. Time is kind of a mysterious entity. The passing of time, just the act of time passing, is a source of amazement to me, especially with regards to rate. And I recognize that a second is exactly as long now, and a minute is as long now, and an hour is long now as it was when I was a kid. But when I was a child, I could define eternity of the time between birthdays. It took forever for me to get the next year old. But as we get older, and I'm finding this to be true, I have experienced it, time picks up speed. It crawls. It's like a child. It crawls, and then it walks, and then it runs, and then it flies. I'm fairly convinced that the Latin guy that said tempus fugit was an old man, because it's now in my life that time is really beginning. I don't even know what happened to 2014. It just was gone. And here we are. We're, you know, halfway through almost January already of this year and this month. So this is a time of year still when we kind of look backward and forward. I recognize that the changing of the calendar is kind of an artificial thing, but we become aware of the passage of time, especially this time of year where we have to change on our checks. The last number is no longer 14, it's 15 now. And so that becomes useful. And so I want to talk about this morning and ask us and have you think about, what did you accomplish last year and what did you leave unfinished and what areas of your life and my life do we need to have improvement? And so that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. And I want to begin by talking about resolutions. If you made any resolutions for this year, they're 10 days old now. And so this is about the time, and Greg mentioned last Sunday morning, you know, that this is the time when we're going to read through the Bible, and everybody starts off in Genesis, and there's probably not a person in this room that however many years you are old that you've been reading, you've read at least the first 10 chapters of Genesis, because you do it every year, at the beginning of the year. By the way, the reading things, the schedules are back there on the table if you want to get started. It won't take you very long to catch up if you want those. A resolution, they're good things. There's nothing wrong with them. In fact, it is a synonym for a vow, which is what I just read about a moment ago. And the point of Solomon here is that if you make a vow, keep it. If you resolve to do something, then do it. And otherwise, it becomes meaningless. And in fact, as Solomon said, breaking a vow becomes something that's sinful. Verse 7 there that I read says, much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Our resolutions, if our resolutions are not, we're not resolved to do them, we haven't really taken a vow to do those things, then they become a dream. And that's what Solomon is saying here. You're just dreaming. You're wishing. I wish that I would be like this, or I wish I could change this, when you're really not vowing to do that, and then it becomes empty. It becomes meaningless. So, along with our resolutions, we need to have some perspective, which is the title of the lesson this morning, is a New Year's perspective. And perspective itself comes from the Latin word perspectus, which actually means to look through or to see clearly. So we need an accurate and proper view of our lives, a proper and accurate view of ourselves, before we ever make any resolutions, before we ever make any vows. I used to make vows to lose weight. Well, I didn't used to. I didn't have to. I didn't used to have to. And a few years I've made resolutions to lose weight, and I've lost some weight. And then it comes back. It comes back, starts coming back about April, and is in full swing again by September. And I've almost come to the conclusion that there's a particular place where my body wants to be, and that's who I am. And I told that to my mom one time, because she's constantly dieting. She's 80 years old, and she's still dieting. I said, Mom, I said, If eating makes you happy, then eat. Why should you torture yourself? And then she came up with the great line. I don't know where she came with it. She said, you have to buy the whole casket. You might as well fill it. And so that's now her mode of life. So I'm hoping I won't be a pallbearer there. So we need to make vows or resolutions about things that are truly important, that are life-impacting and improving in us, things that we're serious about. And the best perspective only comes by standing where we are, looking back at who we were and were then, and looking forward to what we would rather be in those areas that are important to us. And so as we go through this, I don't know what your situation is. I know what mine is. But you're going to need to be honest with yourself as we go through this. And I'll tell you what else you're going to need to be. You need to be serious about it. Because you only get one life. This is it.
You know, last night I was standing at the counter and taking my blood pressure medicine, which I didn't used to have to take. And, you know, I've got my glasses on so I can see what I'm doing, which I didn't used to need glasses. And I raised my hand, and this is my dad's hand and my mom's hand. Because I didn't used to have these spots on there that I have now. I think I'm turning into a Dalmatian, you know. And the wrinkles and the skin tone and all that. My hands were like Ezekiel's and Atticus's, you know, all nice and white and fleshy and puffy and smooth and young and supple and all of that. That's not me anymore. And when I do that, it reminds me I'm getting older. And if I'm blessed by God, I'll get to see my 87th, 88th year like my dad and mom are seeing now. But there's so many that don't see that, and so I have no guarantee of that. So I have to take life seriously this moment and make the changes that I need to make now. So in 2014, did your relationship with God and with Christ improve? In James, the fourth chapter, and get my magnet to work here, in verse 8, it says, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." So in 2014, as you look back from this perspective here today, January 11th, 2015, and you look over 2014, are you closer to God now than you were this time last year? Did you draw nearer to God? And listen, a good relationship, I don't care who you're dealing with, a good relationship depends on communication. So have you been faithful in listening to God? How much time in the past year did you spend in God's Word? And I'm not just talking about Bible classes and sermons and things like that. Every once in a while, as I'm finishing a year up of sermons, I have them all in a file, and then I move them over to my filing cabinet, and I start another one there on my desk drawer. But every year, my sermon outlines, just for sermons preached here, is a stack of paper about this thick. It's more than a ream of just outlines. And I look at that, and think, I wrote a book this year in sermon outlines. And so there's a lot taught here. There's a lot of time we spend in God's Word here. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about personal time. I'm talking about when you're at home. Or you're in the car and you're listening perhaps to God's Word on CD or whatever it is. And as you're looking back, could you possibly wish you'd spent a little bit more time in God's Word? Have you been growing in talking to God, not listening to God through His Word, but time in prayer, which is important too? And I'm not just talking about how much you pray, but also the depth of your prayers, the quality of your prayers, the intimacy of your prayers. And did you have time this last year to just sit and meditate, perhaps, just meditate about God? Think about Him. You know, when I'm interested in something, I think about it a lot. How many of you were thinking this last week about Seahawks and Carolina? And were they going to win or were they going to lose? Was this going to be a trap game for them? They weren't going to get up for that game, and it was going to be too easy for them, and so they might slip or fall or what? And I'm just using that as an example. Did the Seahawks cross your mind? Did God cross your mind? Did you think about what He's done for you? And just think about that and meditate on Him. And that's a good indication of your relationship. So if you feel now, looking back towards last year, if you feel a little further from God, well then who moved? Because He hasn't moved. And if you don't feel any further, but you don't feel any closer, Well, that's evidence to me that you haven't moved towards him, because James tells me that if you draw near to God, what's he going to do? He's going to get even closer to you. So just remember that promise. If you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. How about your relationship with the brethren here? Is that better than it was? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it's dark up here and it's taking me a while to find things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 10 said, "Now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia." I'll tell you, if I got a letter like that from Paul, I would be really excited about that. I don't have to tell you folks about loving each other, because you've been taught to do that. And in fact, you do. But I want you to finish verse 10. "Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more." So we are to love one another. We're to seek that close, that loving relationship with each other. And while we are doing that, the message of God here is good. Glad you're loving each other. Now do it more and more. And so this relationship that we have with each other is to be constantly improving. So did your love for your brethren grow last year? Are we growing closer as a church family than we were the year before? Did you take advantage of opportunities to be in the homes of other people, other members of the congregation? Did you have other people in your home? Did you spend time with your brethren outside of this assembly? Outside of times when we come together here? And in fact, maybe is your attendance here with us, in your regular attendance with us, greater now than it was a year ago or 2 years ago or 10 years ago? Listen, we can tell you that if you'd like. You want to know if you're attending now as much as you did 5 years ago or 10 years ago, and apparently believing that you were a member here that long ago, we can tell you, if you would like to know, if you're missing a lot more than you did before. But I think you probably know in your heart. And whether you know it or not, the Lord knows. If you've chosen not to be here to do other things, you know, just not as important to you as it might have been. I mean, I know there's extenuating circumstances in everybody's life. I'm not talking about those. But listen, the more you absent yourself from being together with your brothers and sisters, even including the assemblies, listen, that's going to affect your relationship that you have with each other and with me and mine with you. Because you and I cannot have a relationship if we don't ever see each other. We don't spend time together. Are there members of the congregation, let me put it this way, are there members of the congregation here that you don't know? We've had a few new members added to our group lately. We're going to add a couple more families here in the next couple of weeks. Have you met them? Have you spent any time with them? Have you even introduced yourself to them? Again, we can't grow closer if we don't even know each other. I thought I had another passage, but maybe it's later in the lesson. I'll bring that up. So let's just keep moving here. How about your relationship with others, people not a part of the congregation? Did that improve? Matthew, the 5th chapter, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about the fact that we are to be salt and light in the world. A city set on a hill, he says there in verse 14, cannot be hidden. Verse 15, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Listen, if you don't have a relationship with people outside of this congregation, then there's no influence that you're able to have. You're not able to be the salt that is the positive influence. You're not going to be able to be the light that's to help show them the path, the way of Christ. And forming relationships with people outside of our Christian family here takes effort. If they're going to be meaningful relationships. Do you know who your neighbors are in the neighborhood that you live in? Do they know who you are? Are you willing to invite them to services? You know, this last summer we had a little event that we called Bring a Friend Sunday, where you could invite your friends, your neighbors to come. And we had a great response to that. We're going to do it again this year. And it's a perfect opportunity for you to do that, is to invite your friends, to invite family members or neighbors or coworkers. And we promise we'll present a lesson that'll be easy. You know, we're not gonna call anybody out or make them feel uncomfortable. We just want to share the gospel with people. And listen, let me explain a little bit here. If we bring unchurched people, when I mean unchurched, I mean people that really don't have much background with religious stuff. When those people come, they may bring little ones with them that don't know how to behave. They might be a little noisy. Even the adults that come may be a little noisy. They may be thinking, you know, they can talk back and forth during the services and all of that. Because they may not know what's expected like we do. We know the rules. We know what it means to sit and shut up and listen and look dour. You know? And when other people come and they're a little noisy, or their kids are a little noisy, and we look at them and say, you know, and make them feel absolutely like they are the wart on the armpit of the world right there. Why in the world are they acting that way? Guess how many times they're going to come back? The big zero. And we're aware of that. You know, that's why we're a welcoming congregation. We want those people to come. And so you don't have to worry about that. We'll cover their transgressions, okay? We'll overlook those things. So we need to look back on our year of 2014 and ask ourselves, did our relationship with God improve? Did our relationship with the brethren improve? Did our relationship with others improve? And listen, that can be a little depressing. If you're honest, you can say, wow, you know, I should have been doing more. Didn't do enough. Wish I'd done better. But then we just take Paul's advice there in Philippians, the third chapter in verse 14, and forget the things that are behind now, because that year is past, and the last 5 years is past, and so we're going to press forward and press onward to the goal and do the very best that we can. So now let's do that. Let's look forward to 2015. And so here's some resolutions for you. Resolve to improve your relationship with God. And you do that by spending more time, first of all, in His Word. In Hebrews, the fourth chapter, and at verse 12, it says that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged swords. It penetrates even the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. When you spend time in God's Word, it's going to pare away the things that you don't want to have in your life. It's going to expose those things, even right down to your motives. We need that. We need someone, in this case God, to tell us this is where improvement is needed. This is something you need to get rid of. And it'll give us a good perspective on ourselves. And the time that we spend with God's Word has to be quality time, it has to be regular time, and it has to be personal. It can't just happen here in the church building. And then we need to spend time talking to God, which is in the 16th verse there of Hebrews. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. So take the time to pray full and meaningful prayers. You know, we covered the Acts thing, you know, the adoration that you start off with, and then the confession, and then the thanksgiving, and then the supplication aspects of prayer. And instead of it being like a grocery list where we're telling God all the things that we want, we have things in their proper order. And spend time praying for other people. Think about your brothers and sisters in Christ. Think about your neighbors and your coworkers. Think about the world if you want, and pray to God about those things. Share your thoughts with God. Share your fear. Share your joys. But the idea here is to, keep God at your side at all times. And so even as you're going through life, you're shooting these arrow prayers up to God. It's talking with Him as He's your daily companion. Secondly, resolve to improve your relationship with brethren here. This is the passage I was thinking about a moment ago in 3 John, verse 14. I really like all of you to turn there. 3 John, verse 14. I like to hear the holy rattling of paper or the whiz of a cell phone moving it over to the next place. I'm going to miss that. When we all go digital, I'm going to miss the turning of pages. They'll come up with an app that'll make it sound like you're turning pages. Verse 14 says, I hope to see you soon and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. So my question with regards to this passage is, can you do that? Are you able to talk to people here face to face? See, that's what John is saying. I'm looking forward to we can talk face to face. And the second thing he says, greet the friends by name. Not, hello, buddy. How you doing there, partner? No, he knows. You know their names. You know their faces, and you know which name goes with which face, which is the challenge for probably a lot of us. And that doesn't happen by itself. It takes time, it takes effort, especially if you are shy. If you're just naturally shy, it's a little more difficult to get to know people. You can try to have somebody in your home. Invite a family over, a couple over. It doesn't have to be a four-course meal. Have them over for a game night or, whatever you would like to do. And have some dessert and coffee, whatever. Visit with a different family. Make a point of greeting visitors when they come. In fact, which I know is going to be difficult for many of us, sit somewhere else when you're here. I still cannot. I always remember Megan when she was little. We always sat in a particular pew, and Robin and I were teaching Bible classes out of the auditorium. And so when we came out after Bible class, there was somebody sitting in our pew, and Megan just came out and looked at him. What are you doing where we sit? Is basically what she was. And I had to go over and grab her and say, come on, sweetie, we'll go sit somewhere else. I tell you, there's no better way to meet other people than to sit somewhere else. Because chances are they're going to sit where they always sit. So if you're sitting down beside them, they're going to look, is this my pew? Oh, is you know you? I don't know you. Well, then that's a good way to get to know each other. Listen, the easiest way for you to get to know the brethren here, the very easiest and the simplest and the quickest way, come to services. Not just Sunday morning. Come to our Bible classes. Come to our evening services. Unfortunately, if you like small groups, then that's where you'll meet a smaller group is on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And you won't be so crowd crazy. But we're doing good. I like those numbers over there better than what we did before. And resolve to know your non-Christian neighbors and coworkers better. Have them in your home. Little hospitality goes a long ways, and it can be simple stuff. Just share some dessert or something with them, and or if you live in a neighborhood that there's activities, you know, let's clean up the community park that we have a community park. We used to get together and do that when we were close as a neighborhood. But work together with your neighbors and get to know them. Same thing can happen in work-related issues in your office. Don't stay away from those. Be a light there and get to know those people. If you have hobbies, then be active in those, and you'll get in touch with people that are also not a part of the Lord's family. Listen, meaningful relationships is the first step to sharing the Lord. For them to get to know you, and you get to know them, and then you can, and then that becomes a springboard for that happening. So there's your list of resolutions for 2015. I'll tell you what, you won't read that list of resolutions anywhere on the web. You know, you say, okay, what are the top 10 resolutions? You know, lose weight, quit smoking, you know, all the bad stuff that we want to get rid of, or stuff, good stuff. You won't find these, but these are really important. And they're helpful. And they're serious. And it would be good for us to do that. They're resolutions that will bless you and cause you to be a blessing to others. Like I said, time is a precious commodity, and we're spending it all the time. And some of the time we spend is spent more profitably than others. Just for instance, and I recognize the days are short, it's night, there's a lot of people that can't drive in the dark, and I'm not talking to you. But those of you who are capable of driving in the evening, what are you planning to do tonight between 5 and 6 o'clock? How are you planning to spend that hour? And could you spend it better worshiping and being with your brothers and sisters in Christ? It's just something for you to think about, because we need to take advantage of every minute. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and these are passages that are very familiar to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and verses 1 and 2, "As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, 'In the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you.' I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." And then over in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and at verse 16, Paul tells us there to make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Henry picked "Just As I Am" as an invitation song, which is really good. Because too many people, I think, believe that, well, I'll come to the Lord and I'll get my life, I'll give it to him when I get it improved, when I'm doing better. And the message of this song is, and my whole lesson today has been about improving and becoming better. But in coming to the Lord initially, let him do all that work. You come just as you are. Let him wash you clean. Let him start you over. And then you begin. But you don't have to get better before you come to the Lord. If you're not a child of God, there's not any way that you can do that. You have to let him do that. And based on your faith and your desire to serve him and willingness to confess his name, then you can be buried with him in baptism. He'll wash away your sins. He'll create you as a new creature. You'll have a brand new life. What a great time to have a brand new life at the beginning of a brand new year and to start serving him. If we can help you in any way, please come forward while we stand and sing.